Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 51 to 62, if you want to follow along in your pew Bibles. Jesus, you see, began his fateful journey now in this text to Jerusalem. And we human beings have many excuses not to follow Jesus. Certainly they did in that day. But Jesus puts into divine perspective all our feeble excuses. As his time draws near, Jesus focuses intently on the core of his mission, to share the love of God with all the world. He works to make sure his disciples and we understand that this too is our mission. Hear now from Luke's Gospel. And so when the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and he rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. And as they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to them, "Foxes have holes, and birds have in the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And to another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." And Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. These things we pray in the name of Jesus, who is our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever watched the face of an Olympian swimmer just before they dive in and the camera gets close to their face? They have such intention and focus. Their love of the sport overwhelms anything as they ready themselves at the side of the pool. And there is no turning back once they dive in. Call it wishful thinking or whatever you want, but what I see is pure intention. These swimmers have their game face on for the love of their sport. The Bible teaches us love conquers all things, even fear of losing. And as Christians today, in a complex, divided, raging world, a warring world, we have to be clear that we need our intention clear. You see, what we see in the world today is not of our Creator. It is man's creation. As Christians, we get tired and want to give up, but I say to you today, we must have our game face on, or we will be sucked into a vortex of all things that confuse us, cause chaos, disillusionment, and despair in our hearts. And then we're not able to bring the kingdom of God on earth, to be a part of that. In today's gospel reading, we find a similar change in Jesus. The text says twice that he set his face, his game face, to go to Jerusalem. Think, had he not done that, where would we be now? Jerusalem, you see, is the big stage where the defining moment of his ministry will happen. That is where the ultimate demonstration of God's incredible love for creation is either going to happen or not. And where he will set the captives free once and for all. Who are the captives? Well, they are those who lived in oppression. They are those innocent ones who do not have a voice. Those living in governments that want to rule, leaving no place to share God's good news. From this time on, Jesus focuses like a laser on fulfilling the mission, bringing the reign of God into this world by the sacrifice of himself on a cross. That we may know of God's love, how deep and wide that love is. In today's reading, Jesus sends messengers ahead of him to prepare the way as he begins the fateful journey toward that place of destiny. And on their way, they come to a Samaritan village where they are told to get out of town before the sun sets. So James and John are furious at this snub. Do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? There are so many things wrong with that question. Jesus hardly knows where to start. The mission is nearing the end, and his wingmen still don't know what the mission is. Newsflash, the reign of God is about love, not hatred. Mercy, not vengeance. Forgiveness, not bitterness. It's about loving enemies, not destroying them. And we would do well to remember that today. We need to know that our real enemy is not flesh and blood. Yet how do we get there? How do we know this? How do we do all this? It is intention. It is focus on the mission. Jesus didn't focus on the people, but on the mission. And I want to pause for a moment and read you the mission at the top of your bulletins. To be a dynamic, welcoming, and caring community of Christian faith by weaving the thread of Christ into the tapestry of our lives. I love that. That's beautiful. Focus on the mission. If this business with the cross in Jerusalem is to have any meaning at all, the disciples are going to have to focus. Things are heating up and getting urgent. Jesus is running out of time to get them to understand the basics of God's reign. And things are getting harder. A follower of Christ does not fight evil with evil. God conquers through the power of the word, the power of love. Not romantic or friendship kind of love, that's called eros. But unconditional love is called agape. Love that calls us to do the hard stuff, to stand for righteousness. Some people want to call this tough love, but I think it goes even beyond that. It is the kind of love that calls us to love our enemies because we are so connected to our Creator that we can do nothing else. And so the disciples did eventually learn this ground rule, and they practiced it. For this is the secret of the Christian life, turning our hearts to our first love, who is Jesus Christ, and letting the Holy Spirit work in us to burn up, as the scripture says, the chaff that is within us, that blocks us from the divine love that continually renews us each day. But there are many today who still don't get it. And I would say even in the Christian churches, who react to every rejection of or a sign of indifference to this Christian message by getting angry and calling forth fire from heaven to burn them up rather than burning up what that which prevents us from loving one another, even our enemies. Pray for your enemies. The real enemy, you see, is not a person or a group. It's evil. It is Satan working through others. It still seems to be a knee-jerk reaction for the religious folks to call forth fire from heaven anytime they feel that God has been slighted. How many times do we do that? We say something like, "Oh, God, you must be so angry at those people. I call down hellfire on them and burn them up." Why don't we just do that right now? You see, people are doing that as a result of the Supreme Court decision this week. And it's just wrong. That's not the way. Why do we think we need to use our spiritual muscle in that way? All the while, God whispers in our souls in a still small voice, "Listen to me. Let me do that. Let me burn the chaff so you are free to be in a place of peace and love and joy, because people are going to need that. They're going to need us to be that kind of stability in the world today." Christians seem to call for a cultural war on secular society, bring out the firepower and blast away in the name of Jesus. And Jesus says, "Put the weapons away." That's not how it's done. The kingdom of God just does not work that way. Don't go looking for enemies to destroy. God doesn't need us for protection or to avenge any slight. Focus on the mission. Focus on the message of God's eternal love. Now, if you think that's hard, here's for part two. And this one can make us feel really uncomfortable. So take a deep breath. Come on. Let's breathe it in and breathe out that first part of the message. Breathe in God's love. Breathe out anything that prevents you from feeling that love. So in response to Jesus' call, one fellow says, "Well, Lord, let me go and bury my father." Another says, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Now, these are legitimate requests, certainly. So how can Jesus deny that? Yet he does, and he sounds sort of like a heartless Scrooge. This is God's love? Let's get back into the water again, shall we? And let's talk about salmon for a minute. Yes, salmon. Do you know what they do in the spawning season? I'm sure some of you have seen that. They swim upstream against a hard current so they can spawn, so that they can create new life. If you've ever watched them, it's rather intense. Against a difficult swim, they eventually make it up and create new life. When you have your game face on, when you know what your intention is, when you have clearly heard the call of God in your life, swimming against the current is to be expected. In fact, when you have challenges and you have difficulties, you are on the right path. It would be easy to turn around and flow back down the river, wouldn't it? Let's just float back down. Back to this safe place. That's not what this lesson is about today. Does Jesus mean that we are to leave our loved ones, our peace, our joy, our work? No. We cannot read Luke's gospel and come to the conclusion that Jesus is an ends justify the means kind of guy. How can we possibly think of leaving loving relationships and that they don't mean anything? That it's all just about serving God? That's a cop-out too. What then accounts for his callous response? According to some biblical scholars, the expression, "First I have to go bury my father," was the old Hebrew equivalent to "the check's in the mail." It was a way of putting someone off. And the bit about not saying goodbye to those who are in your home, just what did this guy mean by saying goodbye? A quick hug? A wave, a goodbye dinner, a year or two while I convince the old man this is the right thing to do? Have you ever run into someone you haven't seen in a long time? And you both end your encounter by saying something like, let's get in touch and have lunch together, and then you never schedule it, and it never happens. Psychiatrists confirm this. It just doesn't happen. The events of Jesus' life are coming to a head. Time is short. People of God, events in our nation are also coming to a head. Time is short, not necessarily just for us or to think that way, but for them, for those who push evil agendas into this world, and those who God wants to redeem and using us to be part of that redemption. Time is short. God's creation is in dire need of revival and renewal. People are lost and desperate, and in desperate need for purpose, for hope, for life, as much now as in the days of Jesus. And here's the game plan. So Jesus needs to do what he came to do, and he needs to do it now. He's looking for you and for me to join in spreading the good news throughout the earth. He needs us to do it now. The priority is urgent. By the time these would-be disciples commit to joining, well, Jesus will be gone. The basics haven't changed for us. Forgiveness and love for others is at the heart and soul of the Christian message. And if we don't focus on that, we won't get any of this right in our world today. And that message is urgent. God's creation is in dire need of this renewal, and today, now. So just look around you. People are lost and in desperate need of this, of a way of new life. Many of them cannot wait. We are called to stand up and make a difference in this world and to teach our children to do the same. I hope you're doing that with your grandchildren, your next door neighbors, with the children we bring into this church. Teach the children to do the right thing. Teach them love. People are getting treated so unjustly in America today. A nation who used to be open arms and being just, but do we do justice haphazardly? No. There is order to justice. Protection in the open arms of God. And at the very heart of all that we do is love. God's love that passes all human understanding and covers a multitude of sins, even the sins of entire nations. It begins with us, one person at a time. That we won't enter into arguing and fighting with others, evil for evil. That's not going to happen, you see. We're not going to bring on the kingdom of God if people just kick it around and say, yeah, well, I should be more active in church. Maybe I really should have this or would have that. Should have doesn't cut it. Someday when I'm not so busy or so stressed out or maybe more financially secure, maybe if I was just a little younger, I would love to make a difference in the world. Someday doesn't cut it either. The gospel for today has a simple message. Get your game face on, put your hand to the plow, and don't look back. How will you do that this week? In your home, your neighborhood, your schools, your jobs, and in this community? What do we need to do to get the game face on? We are living in exciting times in America today. A time of revival, I believe, is coming. We are called to the task of setting people free through the gospel of love of Jesus Christ. What a privilege. Amen.